Good morning. I'm Jeff Cohen, and I'm going to talk to you today about how we do network monitoring in Akamai. The title of the talk is Keeping Track of 70,000 Plus Servers, the Akamai Query System. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about what the Akamai platform consists of. It's over 70,000 machines that are used for providing a variety of web infrastructure services. So that includes distributing HTTP content, streaming video, video on demand, accelerating e-commerce transactions, and a variety of other things. And it can handle upwards of 15 or 20% of web traffic on a given day. Because all of these machines are running numerous processes, there are over 1 million distributed components on the platform, and they're distributed all around the world in over 1,000 different autonomous systems. And with all that stuff going on constantly, we need to have the ability to monitor this network and figure out what's going on. That way, if a machine goes down, we can figure it out and solve the problem. Or if usage changes somewhere and we're now under capacity, we can find out about it and deploy additional hardware. Because we want to fix problems before they have customer impact, we need this monitoring to be as close to real time as possible. To do that, we use a system called Query and a number of other systems, but Query is the one that I'm going to focus on. And it's basically a distributed database where all 70,000 of our machines publish data into a database that gets collected at a few hundred aggregation points. And then individual people or applications can issue SQL queries to it to get back data and figure out what's going on in the network. So here is a sample query. It's going to sum up the number of hits that the Akamai network has served in the past 2 minutes on every continent. And I ran this query a few weeks ago at 3:15 on a Saturday, and that's why the ordering of continents here is what it is. Asia would be higher up if it were run at a different time during the day, but at 3:15 on the East Coast, most of Asia is asleep. And as you can see, there's only a tiny little bit of traffic served in Antarctica. So now I'd like to come up for air and talk a little bit about what's coming up in this talk. First, I'm going to talk about the design goals that we have in mind for the query system, then about how the query system is architected, and then I'm going to describe who a few of our users are, so what do we use this thing for, and then talk about the scale of the system. One of the things we need is we need query to be reliable. So if you publish data into it, that data should show up at the aggregation points. If you issue a query, you should get back an answer. And furthermore, the answer you get back should be complete. You should be able to be confident that it contains an accurate view of what's going on the network. It should be scalable. So the Akamai network is growing pretty quickly. When we first worked on the extended abstract for this paper, it was called Keeping Track of 30,000 Plus Servers. Then when we submitted it, it was called Keeping Track of 40,000 Plus Servers. We changed it to 60,000 when we started working on the actual text of the paper, and it was finally submitted with 70,000 as the number in the title. The number of customers is growing, the amount of data per customer is growing, and that means that query has to continue handling more and more load and answering more and more queries to meet additional demand. The system needs to be low latency because we need to fix problems as quickly as possible. And there are two types of latency that we care about, what we call data latency, which is when I get back an answer, how old is the data on which it's based, and what we call query latency, which is I issue a query, how many seconds do I have to wait for the answer to come back? It should be consistent. So we've got a few hundred aggregation points. If you issue the same query to two aggregation points, at about the same time, you should see about the same results. It's not exactly the same because getting all these machines to do all the exact same updates of their state in exactly the same way would have a lot of overhead, but we want it to at least be close. The system should be fault tolerant. You can't keep 70,000 machines up constantly. You also can't keep several hundred aggregation points up constantly. And it should have something that we call synchronization. So say a certain type of request comes in, and then there's a spike in the memory usage. We want those that's a direct result of that request. We want those two events to show up in the tables at about the same time so that we can easily correlate them and figure out that one happens at the same time as the other. So how do we achieve that? There are basically four parts to queries architecture. One is how we collect data at all of our 70,000 machines. One is the Akamai network isn't just these individual machines acting on their own. It's broken up into what we call clusters. A cluster is a set of machines in a single data center that share a backend. And in order to introduce a level of hierarchy to allow us to more efficiently get data from all these 70,000 machines, we have some number of machines designated in each cluster to collect the data for that cluster, and then they're the ones who talk to the aggregation points. Then those aggregation points are the next level of the hierarchy, and the final aspect of the architecture is how we actually issue and answer queries. So here is what query looks like at the edge of the internet. Every machine has one query process and some number of other processes that publish into query. I've shown three here, but in practice there are a few dozen. And every 2 minutes, the query process takes a snapshot of all the rows of database tables that have been sent to it by any of these other processes and puts them together and sends them to the next level in the hierarchy. I've shown here one row of one table. The table's called file system, and what it displays is some information about each mount point on the machine. So it displays the number of blocks, the number of free blocks, and the size of each block, along with the name and the IP address. And we're going to follow that query through the hierarchy, or that table through the hierarchy. The next level of the hierarchy is the cluster proxies I mentioned, which are the machines that we use to collect data for the individual cluster. And each of these machines are serving customer traffic or collecting logs or whatever they're assigned to do, but some set of them are designated to do both that and to collect data for the whole cluster. So what I've shown here is there are the two edge machines which are not acting as cluster proxies and one machine in this cluster which is designated as a cluster proxy. And what the cluster proxy is doing is collecting this big aggregated table here, which consists of the three rows from the three machines, and putting them together into one table to be sent to the next level. And the next level is what we call a top-level aggregator. Their job is to collect data for the whole network. Again, the cluster proxies, the processes send a query every 2 minutes. Query sends to the cluster proxies every 2 minutes. The cluster proxies send to the top-level aggregators every 2 minutes. That's how we guarantee that we have this synchronization. All the data gets sent at about the same time, so the data on a top-level aggregator is correct as of about the same time at any point. In addition to the data that top-level aggregators get from all the clusters, they have what we call static tables, which are tables containing data that doesn't change very often. So, for example, the machines that are up and down may change pretty frequently. Anytime something goes down, the set of machines that are publishing will change. But the set of machines that is supposed to be up only changes when we install or remove hardware. So because we may want to know the difference between the machines that are supposed to be up and the machines that we can actually see, we just have a static table resident on the disk of the aggregator, which describes the configuration of the network. So what we do is we have these tables on disk, and the top-level aggregator reads them and includes them in with the tables that it's received from the whole network. It turns out that talking to these thousands of clusters and getting data from 70,000 machines takes a lot of resources, and TLAs don't have enough resources to do that and to answer queries. So we have some machines that are called SQL parsers, whose job is to collect the queries and compute their answers. So we have, in this case, on this diagram here, two SQL parsers getting data from the one TLA. Each SQL gets data from one TLA, but one TLA may send to multiple SQLs. We only collect the data that we actually need. So each SQL parser only needs at any time to be able to answer certain queries. So it's sort of a waste of resources for it to collect any tables that aren't used by those specific queries. So it collects only the ones that it needs. And here I've shown at the bottom a user who's issuing a query that gets data out of that table that I showed earlier, which is it's looking for all the rows of the file system table where there's a non-zero number of blocks and the number of available blocks is less than 3% of the total. So what that's doing is it's saying, show me all machines on the entire Akamai network that have less than 3% of their space available on any of these mount points. Now, we don't just have several hundred aggregation points set up doing exactly the same job, because not all queries care about everything that's going on our entire network. For example, we have some aggregators we have some queries that only care about the query system itself. Their purpose is to monitor the health of query. So they only care about data from these few hundred machines that are working as TLAs or SQL parsers. They don't care about all 70,000 of our machines. So some machines span our entire network and get data from all 70,000. Some only get data from a certain subset. That way, if you're issuing a query that only cares about data published by these TLAs and SQL parsers, you issue it to a machine that only looks at them. We also designate different SQL parsers for different purposes. So some of our purposes are, some of the things we use query for are mission critical. We use it for alerts to figure out all the problems on the network that we need to respond to, whether that be down machines or misconfigurations or anything else that might go wrong that we might need to fix. That always needs to be up. It always needs to be available, because if it's not, then we lose visibility to our network and we can't find and fix problems. But we also need the ability to test out new queries and make sure that they're doing what we want them to do. But a test query may consume a ton of resources. It may take down a machine. So we don't want to issue test queries to the same place that we issue alert queries. So what we do is we designate a purpose for every one of our SQL parsers. And that way we make sure that we don't send mission critical queries to the same place as, for example, test queries. We call a set of machines that talk to the same part of the network and that are designated for the same purpose an aggregator set. And an aggregator set will consist of several TLAs doing exactly the same job and several SQL parsers doing exactly the same job. Or in some cases, if the size of the network that they're supposed to talk to is small, they may actually have enough resources to do the job of both, to collect the data and to answer queries, in which case we'll just save hardware by combining them on one machine. We identify our aggregator sets with shared host names. So the programmatic interfaces to query, instead of taking the IP address of the machine you want to issue your query to, will take the host name of a set of machines, and then they'll pick one to which to issue the query. That way, if we need to reprovision the query system or change which machines are doing what, none of the users of query have to care. They just continue using the same host name, and we change what machines the host name points to behind the scenes. That helps us meet our reliability guarantees in a few ways. One is that we don't send test queries to the same place as mission critical queries. Another is that the service that we use for mapping host names to IP addresses can take a down machine and just remove it from the set of IPs it returns. So that way, if someone's issuing a query they don't have to worry about a SQL parser going down. They just get moved to a different SQL parser. Similarly, because there are several replicated TLAs in a set, if a SQL parser loses its connection to a TLA or the TLA goes down temporarily, the SQL can just switch over to a different one. And we have multiple cluster proxies in every cluster around the world so that the TLA can just switch in exactly the same fashion if one of the cluster proxies goes down. The breaking up of the network into a lot of different sets of just a handful of aggregators rather than using all several hundred together can also help us tolerate faults and keep them localized. If something goes wrong with one set of aggregators, it doesn't affect all the others. There are a number of ways that we use this system. One is the alert system that I've already alluded to, but I'll go into more detail about that in a second. One is graphical monitoring. We have a lot of services that collect graphical information about query, or collect graphical information out of query. We also use it for incident response. So if something goes wrong that we need to suddenly, urgently fix, one of the first things people often do is issue queries to figure out where the problem is or gain insight into what it is. We use it for looking at historical trends in usage and doing capacity management, making sure we have enough provisioning of the network, and a lot of other uses that we don't really have time to go into. So I'm just going to focus on the first couple of these here, alerts and some of our graphical monitoring. Our alert system consists of several thousand alerts that are basically queries that people have written and procedures to execute when those queries return results that look bad. So the query that I showed earlier that was looking for machines that only have 3% of their available space left, that might be an example of something that you might want to alert on because that can tell you, hey, you need to do something. This machine is running out of space. The alerts that we use are highly customizable, so you can set a priority for each alert. For example, a machine having only 20% of its disk space left is a less urgent problem than it having only 3% of its disk space left, which is a less urgent problem than it being completely out. So you might have three different queries with three different priorities. You may also want an alert to be a condition to show up in a query for a certain amount of time before you decide it's really a problem. So if a large request comes into one of our machines, that might use up some resource temporarily, but then a few seconds later, that resource may, the request may be served and the resource may be, we may have enough of it again. But if the machine is perennially out of resources for a long time, that indicates a real problem. So we can require that the same problematic results show up from the query for the same machine for a certain length of time before we actually decide it's a problem and fire the alert. Also, we can require that the query be gone for a certain amount of, that the problematic condition be gone for a certain amount of time before we clear the alert. And then we have a variety of methods of notifying us that an alert has fired. So we can set them to be email only, where they just send an email to someone, or we can set them to do more proactive monitoring and get our operators in the network operations center to directly go into action to solve a problem. Most of the alerts are Akamai alerts that we've written ourselves for our own monitoring, but some of them are alerts for customer monitoring. We also have a number of systems that collect graphical data out of the query system and display it, either internally or externally. So the query that I showed earlier that was looking for the number of hits on each continent, you can actually find a graph of that at any point in time on the Akamai website. There are also graphs that are visible to our customers through our customer portal. So this is an example of what one of those might look like. It shows the amount of traffic that we've served for a particular customer during the course of a particular day. Everything to the left of the red line is based on data that we collect out of our logs, because the log data is all there, it's all aggregated, but it takes a certain amount of time to actually go through logs from 70,000 machines. So, and people want data that's more real time than that. So we have to the right of the red bar what we call estimated data, which is taken out of the query system. Because query may lose connectivity to a region temporarily and still has to take its snapshot every 2 minutes and still has to send its tables to the next level, some small fraction of the network may be missing, but it's pretty close to accurate, and we can get it within a few minutes instead of having to wait hours for our logs to be parsed. So we provide the older data based on the logs, and the more recent data based on query. We also have some of our own systems that we use for monitoring thousands of things that people have decided they would like to measure, like performances of various services, amounts of various types of traffic that people are that systems are serving, which are collected out of query, and anybody in the company who needs to see them can look at them. So what's the scale of this system? I've already mentioned that we have a few hundred machines in the query infrastructure, including the TLAs, the SQL parsers, and those machines that are on not heavily loaded places that are combined doing the job of both. The thing is, the system handles thousands, or I think we're now up to tens of thousands of queries every minute, and the total amount of data available is in the tens of gigabytes, turning over completely every 2 minutes. As I said, machines only take the tables that they actually need for serving their current requests. So each TLA right now has up to, the most heavily loaded ones have a little over 6 gigabytes of data now. And growing along with the total internet usage of our customers' websites, the growth in the Akamai network, the growth in the number of customers, the growth in the data individual customers are using us to serve, and the number of queries people in the company have decided to monitor. Typically, the age of this data is a few minutes, so we're able to find out that a problem exists within a few minutes of it occurring. And that's the tool that underlies most of our network monitoring. Thank you. What do you mean by lazy evaluation?
I mean that if you are sending data from all of your machines to a single point all the time,
right. So is your question then about how we decide what data to get, what data to pull? Okay. So what we do is we have on each of our sets of aggregators, we have some idea for what tables it's likely to need, and we call that pre-warming. We have a configuration file that tells each aggregator, I want you to pre-fetch this set of tables. And most of the time, almost all those tables get used in every snapshot, if not all of them. And most of the time, all the tables that every query needs are present in that set. So every set of aggregators, we know who's going to be using it. We know roughly what they're going to be using it for. So we prefetch. The SQL parsers tell their TLAs, these are the tables I want you to preemptively send me. The TLAs tell all the cluster proxies, these are the tables I want you to preemptively send me. And then every TLA is getting only the tables its SQL parsers need. Every SQL parser is getting only the tables its users need. And then if an additional query comes in, the machines can either be configured to say, no, you have to be reliable. You can't pull whatever you feel like. Or they can be configured to say, pull everything that you get a request for, in which case they'll send a request up the chain, and eventually that request will start being included in these snapshots that happen every 2 minutes. The requests come in potentially randomly. So some of the users of query will be automated applications that issue on a regular schedule. But some of them will be individual people who are sitting down at a desktop, and we have no control over when in the cycle that happens. But when the updates happen is determined where each step of the chain sends at a certain point in the 2 minute cycle to try and get data to the next stage before it's needed. And what will happen is the machine will, if it gets a request, it'll just try and include that request in its next snapshot. That sounds interesting, yeah.
When I make a query, are you able to tell me how fresh the data is that it's touching or how complete the data is? Does that sort of metadata about how accurate the estimate is get pushed to the end?
There is a table that describes how old is the data from each machine that this is based on. Mm-hmm. So you won't see it when you get your query back, mm-hmm. but you may issue a query to say, how old's the data, and then mm-hmm. issue your query to say, now give me the data. Or you can join the two.
And does it, I mean, how often do you use it? Do you have a sense, like, how often do people actually check? I mean, are people okay with potentially stale data, or is that a thing that, you know, the users actually do want to check how good is the data coming out?
It depends on the application. So if somebody's sitting down and just saying, hey, how many machines of this type do I have again? Mm-hmm. Then the number of machines probably hasn't changed in the last several minutes. But if somebody is in the middle of an incident or is doing an alert, then they really do care about the staleness, mm-hmm. in which case they will check.
And is there a reason for not sort of always keeping sort of alongside the data some notes about accuracy? I mean, you'd think this would be sort of a cheap thing to compute alongside.
We have it in a separate table, and then if anybody wants it, if anybody cares, they can get it out easily. I guess we've just found that easier than altering the semantics of the system.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.